Hey girlfriend, welcome to Journey to Limitless podcast. Together on this show, we are on a mission to build belief in ourselves and live a life of freedom despite what tries to hold us back. I'm your host, Court, an empowerment coach, travel enthusiast, and a chronic illness warrior who over the last 7 years has built a life that I am so obsessed with and proud of, but it definitely has not come easy. So on the show, we're going to keep it real as we talk about adapting positive mindsets through hardship, taking action towards our dreams, and finding peace and freedom from hustle culture and chronic stress. Are you with me? Let's get going on your own journey to limitless. Hi friends, welcome back to Journey to Limitless. Thank you so much for being here. If this is your first time, I just want to welcome you to the show. And if you love this episode, definitely hit subscribe at the top of whatever platform that you're listening on. And if you've been here before, I appreciate you so much for coming back, and I'm just excited that you're here. One of my missions through Journey to Limitless is to highlight stories of individuals who have overcome hardship and talk about how they're continuing to move forward and not let their circumstances hold them back from going after what they want in life. And today's episode is an inspiring story with Mia Tamburino. I connected with Mia through, I think, a travel community a few years ago. I think Girls Love Travel on Facebook or the Solo Female Travel Network, not sure. But either way, we're connected on Instagram, and I've been seeing her story she was diagnosed with an eye disease back in 2019, and that really catapulted her to now be a full-time traveler and seeing the world while she still can. And I am just so moved by her story. It really hits home with me because one of the things that I've really taken into my life is we got to chase our dreams while we can, because we don't know how life will go. We don't know, life could just be so unexpected, right? And that's one of the things that I preach, I talk about so much, is like, don't wait to go after what you want. So I wanted to bring her on to talk about, you know, her diagnosis journey and why that really prompted her to go see the world now while she still can, while she still has her vision. But then we also talked a lot about, you know, her mindset through her diagnosis and kind of where her mindset is now. And we talked about the grieving phase. So this episode can kind of appeal to so many different people, I think. I think whether you have a chronic illness or not, or you have, you know, a diagnosis or not, I think that you'll still be able to really connect with Mia and hopefully be inspired by her resiliency to continue moving forward. And I think that you'll be able to really connect with her if you have had some hardship, like a diagnosis. I think that you'll be able to really connect, because I know I definitely did with her, you know, on this podcast. So I'm so excited for you to be here for this episode. This was really fun to connect with Mia. You know, we talked through Instagram, but this was the first time that we had a conversation, you know, voice to voice. So I think this is going to really hit home with you, and I hope so. So all of Mia's information is going to be in the show notes for you. She does some travel blogging on her YouTube channel, and her Instagram is at Meow. It's MIIAAOOWW. So if you didn't follow that, it will be linked in the show notes for you. So you can just go down there and follow along her journey. She posts a lot of amazing travel photos that are so beautiful, and I think that you'll definitely want to check her out. So let's go ahead and jump right into the episode. Mia, I'm so excited to have you on Journey to Limitless, to come on here and share your story. So before we get started, can you just tell the listener a little bit about you, like where you're from, where you live, like what are you up to right now?
Okay. So hi, everyone. My name is Mia. I'm from Miami, Florida in the United States. And right now I'm living in Italy with my husband. I just moved here, so I'm still like deciding how that lifestyle is going to look. But I live my life traveling, working online, and, you know, just kind of living in the moment. I don't have too much plans ahead, but yeah, that's what my answer would be. Yeah. That's what I'm doing right now.
You said that you work online. What do you do for work?
So I teach transgender voices. So I teach like someone how to either sound more feminine or more masculine, or androgynous. So it depends who you are. So I have a background in like music and like the science of the voice. So it's just really cool to apply like that background to that. And then I also teach English. So a lot of
Yeah.
like vocal stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like really fascinated by the voice, and my like life is dedicated to traveling, but I obviously have other passions and luckily get to work online so I can travel as well.
Yeah, that's such a unique job too. Teaching transgender people how to, yeah, I just think that's so, that's awesome. I think that's so interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard of somebody doing that for a job. So I learn something
I
new every day. I
know.
think that's
I was
awesome.
like, the job like popped up. I was really lucky to get it and, get trained for it like 2 years ago. It's been a really rewarding career path, honestly. And
I can
and
imagine.
it's a blooming industry as well as our country expands and changes,
Yeah,
things are getting more
cool.
positive. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool. And you it's very empowering, I'm sure, to help a community that is kind of marginalized, you know? So I think that's incredible work that you're doing.
Literally, literally.
Yeah.
It helps me feel good, to help them. And we kind of like go through a process together. They start with one sort of voice and they end up with a completely different one. So it's beautiful to see that metamorphosis.
Yeah, I love that so much. So today we're going to be talking a lot about your journey because I think we
Right.
connected through a travel community. I don't really know how I came across you, but I've
Yeah.
been following your journey for a bit. And recently you started talking about why you are so passionate about seeing the world. And
Yeah.
it struck with me, and that's why I really wanted to bring you on. So can you just tell the listeners about, yeah, your journey and yeah, like what really prompted you to get out into the world and really see it?
So I think I'm going to start from like the beginning of my life. That's always how I describe it. So I
Sure.
come from really adventurous parents. They're come from immigrant families, so we're always have been, frequent movers. So I got my sense of adventure from them. But I would say in 2019, I got diagnosed with like a genetic eye disease. It's incurable. And the diagnosis was like pretty heartbreaking. They told me that I would go legally blind in like 5 to 7 years. 2019 was a while ago now, so I'm not legally blind yet, but I
Yeah.
am losing vision. It has been like a really dark journey, also some beautiful parts in it. But to get back to the traveling, when I was diagnosed, yeah, like I guess I had an epiphany. Like the first thought in my head was like, but I still haven't seen the world, and
Yeah.
I'm 23. I was 23 at the time. So yeah, I was like, F it. F society standards. Like I gotta chase this dream. Like, and that's what I started to do. So I started to travel nonstop. I found myself jobs where I could support myself online, and my husband luckily has supported me, my family. So that's what catapulted me into this life.
Yeah, into like full-time traveling
In
basically.
until
Now
full-time
living in
traveling.
another country and everything.
Country, yeah.
Yeah. When you have something that's really difficult,
Yeah.
it's perspective, right? 'Cause then you had that epiphany and now it just kind of opened your eyes to
Yeah.
what you could miss out on if you don't do this now. I know for me as a child, I saw sickness at a very young age. So
Yeah.
my family was never travelers, but seeing sickness at a very young age, I was like, I just want to go and see the world. And then when I started experiencing my own health
Yeah.
issues, it's just like I want to travel while I'm well and able to. Like I don't want to waste
Right.
time. And that's kind of like my bigger message with Journey to Limitless is like, don't wait.
Wait, yeah.
Don't wait because life is
You
so
never know.
unpredictable.
Like you literally never like life changes like all the time. And I still unfortunately see that happening in my life and everyone else's life, like in a freaking switch. Like everything can change. So don't wait
Yeah.
to try to go for what you want to go for. I didn't have any money. I had just graduated from school, but somehow I made it work. I worked like four jobs at a time, like saved up all this money for myself, and then just started like pushing myself to travel, even if really cheaply. It didn't matter. Like, I just wanted to see things and meet people. And like you said, it really does wake you up. I guess when you're young, you don't realize how important things like this are until you are either like faced with grief or a disease or something hard in
Yeah,
your
you
life.
think that you have all of the time when you're young, and it's almost like a blessing in disguise because then it's like having something happen at a young age, you know, then you have that knowing you're not wasting your life because you're truly going to live life as much as you can. But then it's like you want to wake other people up. Like, I don't want people to experience sickness in order to have this realization, but this is why I'm so passionate about this message because I want people to go do it, to go live their lives and see the world and just do what they want, you know, empower
Yeah,
themselves.
me too. I understand that I might look crazy to others, like my lifestyle, but I live in peace with, the life I've chosen, and I just want other people to not maybe not travel all the time because maybe that's not their dream, but embrace it no matter what is in your way, no matter what obstacle, no matter how scared you are, just like keep pushing yourself and
Yeah. And I love what you said about embracing it because you know, it could be very easy to stay in the like the why me mentality when you have something like that happen, right? A diagnosis that's really difficult. But the fact that you have empowered yourself and you're not letting it stop you, like you're able to like yes, you still have to live with the diagnosis and the possibilities, but you're also not letting it get in your way and you're going to get to the end of your life and know that like you did the best that you could to live, you know?
Yes, I hope I get to the
I
end of
think
my
you
life, and
will.
I think that I do want to like say that it's not rainbows and butterflies either. Like, obviously, anyone that has something that we do or I do, there's gonna be days where you just like F this, like I just don't even want to go on, or like what's the point if I feel this bad, like what's the point of trying to chase anything. So there's days like that too. I do want to clarify that it's not like I haven't fully accepted or come to terms with my prognosis or my disease. And that's the reality of it. Not much more to say on that.
I know. I remember you posted that recently. I think you were in Greece and you were like, I had a really rough day. And, you know, you can be out traveling, but then the grief can still hit you, or, you know, you can be deep in your thoughts. And I think it's just important to note that grief comes in so many different ways. There's denial, there's you know,
Anger,
anger, sadness, there's
sadness, and
envy. Like there's so much to it. And
then there's acceptance, and then they can like all like circle back again, like it never stops.
Totally. I think I've been realizing that you know, being with everything that's been going on in my health, like I'm doing well now, but then there's senses of grief of like, can I, you know, not feeling confident, like, oh, can I actually go travel the world? What if I have a flare up? Like, there's so much to it and it's deep. And I think it's just important to have grace with yourself and for find support and find community and just honor yourself. And if you have to take a day when you are traveling to just be with yourself and cry or, yeah, it's normal, you
Literally.
know?
That was my reality. I had got into Greece and just got a huge wave of depression and was crying down the streets of Athens. And now I can chuckle about it, but it was really dark. And it sucks. I will go back to Greece because I will not say I was my happiest at the time. But I mean, I've just come to realize that, just because you have a bad time once doesn't make it like a bad life.
That's so important. Because I think it's very easy to when you find one negative thing, it's very easy to then find 100 other negative.
Catastrophize,
So I think it's just important to, try to find at least like something to be grateful for during a difficult time. And it's not easy, but that's how it doesn't catapult into a negative life, is if you can find the little things to be grateful for.
Yeah, and I mean, Greece is beautiful, so it's hard not to find things to be grateful for. It's, blue and white and full of beautiful, kind people, and really
I'm
sunny.
going.
Really sunny,
I'm
full of
going.
goats. Going. Okay, I thought you were saying like I'm going, like you want to go. No, you're actually
No,
going.
I
Oh, that's
have a. I'm
exciting.
going. I leave on March 23rd. I'm going to Athens and
Oh, good.
Santorini. So I'm
Oh,
super
fun.
excited. Yeah.
Athens is really. I think Athens. Everyone is like, I hate Athens. Sorry, I know I'm
That's
side
okay.
storying right now, but everyone's like, I hate Athens. It's so dirty. Okay, yes, it's a city, but the beauty of Athens is the Acropolis. So I would say spend most of your time like exploring the area around there,
Yeah.
and just accept it for Athens is gonna be dirty, but it's beautiful. Like it's so ancient. So
Yeah.
I wouldn't say go with the highest expectations, but.
I'm saying right by Acropolis. I'm like, you can see it
Oh,
from the balcony
perfect.
of the hostel that I'm staying at. So I think I'm staying in a really good area. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
But then I'm so excited to go to Santorini. So
Yes.
I will let you know how that is.
Are you flying there or boat?
So I'm gonna take the ferry there, and then on the way
Okay.
back there isn't a ferry that will get me to my flight in time, so I'm gonna
Okay.
have to fly. So I'm
Sorry.
actually probably gonna book that today because I think things are kind of filling up, so
Yeah.
I gotta get on that.
Ryanair.
Yeah, so we kind of talked about this a little bit, with how we said, grief can hit you at different points and your mindset
Yeah.
can go through different motions. But how has your mindset shifted from when you were first diagnosed to now?
I think when I was first diagnosed, I did have like that hit of epiphany, like, wow, I need to travel, but it didn't, I couldn't do it right away. I was still in grad school. So I was still doing what I was calling the life checklist that everyone wants you to complete. So I was still doing those steps. And I finished grad school and I graduated. And after that, I started chasing my dream. So I would say, from the beginning, I was in shock. I was just trying to get through school. I was very angry at life and my God and world. And, now I would say that I just have different values in life than I did before. Maybe I'm a lot more forgiving with myself for what I'm going through. I recognize now that, what I'm going through is traumatic. Back then, I didn't want to be a victim. It was really hard for me to accept my diagnosis that I was gonna be losing my vision. So yeah, just different things like that,
Yeah.
Any does that answer your question a bit?
Yeah, I think it just shows the growth that you've had to go through in your mindset. It's like you've grown to become more self-compassionate, which I think is huge. I think that's something that I definitely, have noticed, from the first flare-up that I had when I was first diagnosed. Like I kept like trying to just push myself to
Yeah.
do and
Like you're normal, like nothing's wrong
yeah.
with you, like you're fine. Yeah.
And honestly,
And honestly,
when I was really healthy, I went through denial that I even had
yeah.
something chronic. And now that I just got over this flare up, I have so much compassion that if I have a day that I just need to rest or I don't want to go do things or I have stomach pain, that's like, it's just a different level of self-compassion. And I think that grows on you as time goes on. I think you build a level of self, I would hope. That most people do. I know sometimes people really struggle with self-love, but I think you gain like a level of self-love that you maybe haven't had before,
Definitely forces you to have a relationship with yourself because this disease is really isolating. Only you are experiencing it in your own body and in your own head. So you're forced to, deal with your emotions, which will eventually pop up. So you can either like choose to go on a self-hatred journey and just make it harder for yourself, or you can, start to help yourself along the way. Not saying that you're always gonna love the relationship you have with yourself, but I was thinking another way that I've maybe changed is that maybe I'm a little bit stronger than I was back then. Like now I'm a little bit unapologetic about my disease, which back then I rarely talked about it with anyone. Now I'm like, yeah, sorry, I didn't see you and I bumped into you. It was my eyes. I'm going blind in my left eye. Sorry. And they're like, okay, sorry. whatever. But back then, it would be different. I wouldn't just tell someone, "Hey, my left eye is blind. This is why I accidentally bumped into you." No, back then I would maybe act different or not claim to have a disease, or you know what I'm trying to
Yeah.
say?
Yeah, it's like you've kind of built you've built confidence and kind of not I would say it's confidence in yourself to kind of own that to own that part of yourself. Like and it is. It's like it's an you there's a level of acceptance that you have now that you don't mind letting other people know that that's going on, right? I can relate to you in that way because there is, it's like, and I think it kind of goes along like denial too. Like in the
Yeah,
beginning, there's so
denial.
much denial that it's like, I don't know why that happened, or, maybe this isn't real and you don't want to admit it, you know?
Yeah,
Yeah.
maybe this isn't real. Or sometimes I even feel like a phony. I don't even know why, 'cause like I'm like literally blind in my left eye, but I'm like, okay, but I can see significantly with my right eye, so like I should just be happy with that. Like, why are you like so depressed that you don't have enough vision? Like, look at other people, which is ridiculous. Like, you're gaslighting yourself.
Yeah.
But it's, when you have a disease, I think it's really easy to gaslight yourself because it's easier to feel bad for others. It's a lot harder to feel bad and take care of ourselves.
Oh my
And if
gosh.
that's not your personality, at least.
I can relate to that so much because, a few years ago when I was really sick, like I almost needed a blood transfusion and they hospitalized me and my therapist actually had to tell me, she's like, "Courtney, you don't have to be on the verge of dying to receive help." And I was totally gaslighting myself, but because I was like, "Well, I'm not as bad off as X, Y, and Z, yada, yada, or this person, they had to get their colon taken out. I'm not there yet. So I don't need, I'm okay." But in reality, no, like what we experience, like we're worthy of receiving help. And we're also, it, whatever we're going through, it doesn't have to be as bad as other people to still experience what we're
To
experiencing.
have some help, yeah, to experience our experience, feel sad about it, and get some help for it if y'all need it.
Yeah. So something that kind of a question that came up in my mind when I asking you that, because obviously your mindset has shifted in a lot of ways, and you talked about like how you had to like really get to know yourself. Was there anything that like really helped you on this journey? Like, we talked about the journey, but like, were there any tools or anything that you reminded yourself or anything that was really, really helpful for you besides like travel?
I would say my family. I have a very supportive family. My partner, husband, who's my husband now. Affirmations, therapy, a lot of therapy, group therapy. Being in a group is really healing sometimes.
Yeah.
Just little things like that, prayer, meditation, yoga, Pilates, whatever you can find to kind of connect with your soul and like actually be deep with yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that so much because I think yeah, a lot of times when there's so much going on in our life, we disconnect from our soul and it's just really important to come back to you. And I think that you can remind when you connect with your soul, you can give yourself these affirmations of like, I can get through this. I'm strong. I'm resilient. I am not what happens to me, right? I am still Mia or
I am
Courtney
healthy.
for, yeah. I have a book
I love
about
that one.
affirmations for health that I've been doing every day now. So yeah, I think just think little habits that allow you to connect with your soul. I love what you just said about that. I think that's vital,
Yeah, really. Because it's like we're very easy to gaslight ourselves and connect to other people but ourselves. At least that's something that I have experienced in my life. So coming to terms with, okay, now I have to, take care of myself. My family's going to be there for me. All my resources are going to be there for me, but then you also have to connect back in. So meditation, therapy, journaling. Sometimes I'm not the best journaler, I will say, but I know it does help a lot of people.
That's okay. I think it's important to note that like just it you pick what works for you. I've been a journaler for years now, but I haven't been a meditator. So it's like meditation's very new to me. So we can't do it all, right? There's so many tools. So I think it's just important to pick, a few that really work for you and not beat yourself up that you're not doing what somebody else is doing,
And also, like something that I've learned in my healing journey is like maybe right now you don't like something, but maybe in the future you will. Like I didn't used to like meditating, but then I did, and then I didn't. And then sometimes you get on it, sometimes you get off it. So I would say never saying no to something, just saying, okay, maybe this isn't for me right now. I'm going to take another route of healing and maybe come back to this later if it didn't work out for me. Because I've come back and forth to journaling many times, and also exercising and different things like that. So I think just now that I'm older, I realize, okay, moving your body really is important. So it's something that should be part of that journey as well.
That one's a difficult one for me to stay consistent with,
I hate
but
that one. I
yeah,
hate
just
that
being
one.
real. If we're being real, yes, it's a hard one, and sometimes I really hate it. But it's okay. We give grace with ourselves, right?
Yeah, I mean, you get older, your body starts to crack a lot more. Everything starts to feel sore. You're like, God dang it, I got to start going to some workout. I have to go to some yoga class.
Yeah, something, yeah.
And with depression, which I also have just because of my disease, naturally I've been depressed about it. It's hard to go to the gym. So I won't say it's easy to move your body, but maybe even taking a walk in the sun was something that I've been trying to commit to recently in my trying to heal myself.
Yeah, that was one of the first things that I started to do once I was really able to move my body again. I just started with just putting on a set of headphones and just walking in the sunshine. And gosh, it just feels so good to do that, but sometimes it's the habit building is the hardest part, but once you're out, you're like, why don't I do this more?
Why don't I do this every day? And then the next day is another fight with
You're
yourself.
like, I don't want
Oh,
to.
I don't understand what yesterday's Mia was thinking of.
Right. What are some lessons that you've learned since your diagnosis?
First one, and this is a negative one. Doctors are not nice sometimes. Like they don't have their patients' best interests. Like that some of them are extremely nerdy or very, very science-based, where they just have a lack of care. So I would say, as a patient, learn how to, hold your doctors accountable, learn how to stand up for yourself. Don't let them talk to you like you're, cualquiera, you're whatever. Because you're their patient, okay? You're there to get treatment. In the beginning stages of my eye disease, a lot of doctors would talk to me so cruelly or so rude, or like just make me feel like there was absolutely no hope for me. And even if there isn't, don't say it in the way you do. So that's one thing I learned. Doctors are not nice. Always advocate for yourself. Everyone thinks that because they're our superiors, we have to like bow down to them. No. Yes, they help us out, but please advocate for yourself, y'all. Have you ever experienced something like that? I mean, you're always, with the medical stuff, so I'm sure you've had your fair share of terrible
If you
doctors.
see me right now, as soon as you said that, I'm like, oh
Oh,
my
yeah.
goodness. Because that's why I had to keep going to the hospital. From September until November, I went to the hospital, I think 5 or 6 times. And it was because my doctors kept blowing me off. The emergency room people kept blowing me off. And then I had COVID and I thought I had blood clots because I was in such bad pain at like 2 in the morning. I had to go to the emergency room. And that doctor, was so mean to me. He at first was acting like nothing was wrong with me, and then was reading off the side effects of my medication and was basically telling me, like, the way that he was putting it was acting like I'm gonna get cancer, I'm gonna get blood clots, I'm gonna get all this stuff, and that I should just the only cure for me is to get my colon taken out. And then when he found out I had COVID, he was talking about something about dying, and I was like, well, I don't think I'm gonna die. And he was like, well, you
Well,
could.
you could. Yeah, they talk to you like that.
I was like, please don't. And he said, I'm not going to change the way that I do my practice because of you. And I'm like, well, you're really scaring me, and you're not, like, what you're saying is just inappropriate. And I was like, I want to talk to another doctor. So I
What you just said is, yes, exactly what I've experienced. And it is. It's so important to advocate for yourself, because if I would have never advocated for myself, I guarantee you I would still be really sick in my flare up.
Exactly. And I had to keep advocating for myself until I found like the right doctor for me. They might not necessarily be the best doctor in the world or that kind of title. In the eye industry, it's weirdly competitive with that, by the way. But all the doctors are like, I'm the best. No, I'm the best. But I'm happy with who I've chosen for now. But I would say doctors are mean. Next thing I've learned is that, friends are sometimes temporary. Some of them are there for a reason. Some of them are there for a season. When you go through something really hard, I think the people that are meant to be in your life will stay by you and be there for you. And the ones that were meant to go away will, fade away. And that's okay. That's part of life. That's something that I had to learn, that it's okay for that to happen. It was really hard for me to get diagnosed with my eye disease and see so many of my close friends like either not know how to handle me, which is understandable, or just like ignore it, like pretend it didn't exist or forget it happened. So I just felt like uncared for a lot of my past friendships.
That's something that I think a lot of people sometimes need to hear, because I think a lot of times we try to pull people along and we want people to step up the way that we need them to. But in reality, people are only going to show up in the way that they can.
Yeah, then a
And
way they know how to, yeah.
things change. And I think something that I've really tried to take in is, I don't really get upset if I realize that friendships are fading away. Like, okay, that's a lie. Yes, I do. But I'm not gonna like fight for it. Like I really remind myself of that affirmation of like, some people are made meant to be in your life for a season, and that's okay. I'm not trying to hold on to all these friendships because we've been friends for years and years and years. Like sometimes we go different paths, and I'm on this healing journey, and that's what I need to be on. And if you're gonna support me in that, great. If not, and our lifestyles don't match up now, that's okay.
Exactly. That's okay. Like, no beef, honey. But I think it's just important to have a good small community. I don't think you need like a large, huge group. First, that's hard to manage as you get older. But I think a really small, good amount of people in your corner is like all you need for survival. And also people who hold you accountable. That's also something that I've, come to realize that I need in friendships as well. Because, when you're depressed, you're going through a disease, it's easy to use other people as punching bags. I haven't been perfect. So people to tell me, hey, Mia, like I noticed you're deflecting, or, trauma dumping, or this is happening. That's important too. Find friends that are gonna be tough with you, but also give you love.
Yeah, that's so important.
And
Because like,
parents or partners, whatever you need.
I think a small group of people in your corner is vital for sure. So if you could give a listener one piece of advice, maybe this person is going through a really difficult diagnosis, what is one piece of advice that you would give them?
One piece of advice, someone going through a really hard diagnosis, first get a therapist, because you're going to need someone to talk through those feelings with. So that's important. And also be kind with yourself. Things are going to change, and that's what it's going to be. As the sooner you come to accept that life is going to be different from now on, the easier it's going to be to ride along.
I love what you said about the therapist because that's someone in your corner that can hold you and help you
Accountable.
process and go through the phases of grief and just kind of get yourself to a healthier place with accepting it and moving forward, helping you take the steps to move forward, right? Because I think that's the difficult part, because a lot of times when you get a diagnosis, you're kind of like, now what? Like, what do I do
Now
now?
what?
Like obviously first get care, but yeah, your life is going to have to adjust. And yeah, there's an acceptance part of that, you know?
Yeah. I saw someone, sorry, this, you just reminded me, like, I saw this girl on TikTok that I think she got diagnosed with some like life-threatening disease, and she said like the day after she got diagnosed she just went to work like nothing, because she was like, well, I don't know what else to do. She's like, well, I'm just gonna go to work. The doctor's like, you have like a few years left to live, and she's like, well, I'm just gonna go to work. It's just like you're in such denial in the beginning, you're just like trying to be normal as much as possible, but you know, eventually coming to the terms that it's not going to be normal, this is your new normal, you know.
Yeah, I went through denial.
Your life isn't going to look like everyone else's, and that's okay.
Yeah, I think I'm just getting to a point where I'm really learning to accept that now, because denial is real.
Yes,
it really is. You go, sometimes you can go through denial when you're in the beginning of your diagnosis. Mm-hmm. You can go through denial when you're in remission.
Yeah.
And you get slapped in the face again. You're like, wait, I do have something chronic that I have to be mindful of. I can't go about life like I used to. And it is. It is a journey. But yeah, I think just always reminding yourself that the healing journey is, it's not just like a straight up thing. It's there's going to be valleys and mountaintops where you feel amazing, and then times where it's really hard, and going with it and giving yourself grace through it.
Right. And like something I also have been reading into recently is like the end goal isn't like the whole point of it. It's like the whole journey on the way there. Like even the really, really painful parts, that's part of the human experience. Mm-hmm. So it's beautiful in its own really weird way, but you know, enjoying the journey that you're on, you know, letting the emotions pass, whether they're denial or acceptance. I go through denial like every other month. So I get you. Yeah,
it just is what it is. Something that I've been reminding myself lately, because I've always said like, oh, I just want to be a world traveler, and I have this like life vision, right?
Right.
And then chronic illness comes into the picture and really stirs things up. And sometimes I'm like, I never would have thought that I would be having a podcast highlighting stories of other people going through chronic illness. And it's like, I never thought that would be. I never thought I'd be here, but that's like, I'm learning to accept that.
Yeah, right?
And, but now I'm like, what I try to remind myself is, yes, like my journey is mine, and there's no way that we can predict all of the things that are going to happen in our life. And doesn't mean that I can't live a beautiful life, but it's that perspective switch, you know, of I'm not going to let it stop me from living a beautiful life. It doesn't have to. I can still go after X, Y, and Z while having my chronic illness beside me, you know?
Exactly. It just like learning how to manage your chronic illness while trying to chase your dream, which can be heartbreaking, and it can also be empowering, because you freaking did that. You went to chase your dream while having a chronic illness. Like, amazing.
So I have a fun question for you, because since this podcast is all about you seeing the world, and that's really, you know, your diagnosis was huge, but also like you're seeing the world now because of this, really. So for all the travel lovers and aspiring travelers, how many countries have you been to, and which top three countries are your favorite?
I don't know the exact number of countries. I've tried to count this many times. I do know it's more than 30. So there you go. More than 30. And I would say my favorite countries was Guatemala. Guatemala. I went to Lago de Atitlan, which is a very spiritual lake there. And I went by myself. It was my first solo trip. So I connected a lot with my soul, with myself, depression and happiness. I got to hike beautiful mountains, meet beautiful people, learn about the Mayan culture. So I would suggest it to anyone who wants to go. It's, you know, budget friendly. Next place I really liked is probably South Africa, Cape Town.
That's on my list. Well, they're both on my list, but
yeah, gorgeous. Like one of the most prettiest places on this planet that I've seen so far.
Yeah.
You know, I saw lions and zebras and elephants like out in the wild. Like I saw like baboons crossing the streets and penguins, and it was just like wildlife extreme. I will say it's very dangerous, so definitely, plan strongly for that, and then like plan how you're going to have security. And then the third country, Italy, because I live here and it's my husband's homeland.
Oh, did you meet him traveling or
I did. Yeah, I met him studying abroad 2019 before I got diagnosed. And yeah, I was skinny dipping with like a group of people like after the club like at 5 in the morning, and like a wave like pushed me on him, and that's how we met. And
Wow.
yeah, literally we both have like a wave tattooed because like that's our story, like a wave. He claims I just jumped on him, but I swear a wave pushed me on that man. I'm
That is
tiny, like
hilarious.
yeah. So since then we dated, and now we're married. So yeah.
Yeah,
So
I love
Italy.
stories like that.
Yeah, Italy, the country of love and history, really, really long history. It's super cool.
And
I can't wait to live here and it really get to know the city I just moved to.
where did you move to? What
I
city?
moved to Bologna.
Okay.
So do you know Bologna?
I've heard of it, yeah.
It invented like tortellini and the bolognese sauce, and then also it's like the first university in Europe was in this city.
Wow.
So yeah.
Yeah, lot of history. Wow. That's
So yeah, I'm like
incredible.
really excited to explore it. We just moved here this week. So
That's so exciting. I have not been to Italy, but I have a lot on my list, but I will get there. But if I'm ever in Italy, I will hit you up.
yeah, come stay with us. We have like a pull-out couch.
Okay. Do you have a song or an affirmation that you go to when you need a reminder that you are strong and capable and to just keep a positive mindset?
For affirmation, I like the one I am healthy, just because that one helps me personally. But I just like the I am, I am confident. I am, trying the best I can. I love the I am affirmations. They're very personal. And also because I am is om. So that's also beautiful. So anything like that. And then for songs, the first one that popped into my head, I am beautiful no matter what they say. But
Oh, heck yeah.
I wouldn't say I go and listen to that one. That just popped into my head. I really don't know. I don't think I go to songs for refuge. I go to songs to listen to like depressing lyrics, but not to empower me, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's okay. Everybody's goes to music for different things. But yeah, I agree. I love the I am statements. I have an I am affirmation deck, so that's always really, I do it every morning, so I'm with you on that. It's really powerful. So what are you currently excited about, and where can people find you to connect with you?
So they can find me on Instagram. My travel page is meow. So it's like MIIAAOOWW. And then my YouTube is Mia Louise if they want to see some travel videos. And then what was the other question? I forgot.
What are you currently excited about?
So I'm excited about exploring this new city that I moved to, this first year of marriage, and maybe like getting more in touch with like my spirituality and like what that means to me.
Yeah, I think you're in a great spot to do that, and I'm excited for you, and I'm excited to continue
Thank you.
seeing your journey. And I will link everything in the show notes for the listener. So I'll ask you for your YouTube page if you want to send it over on Instagram. But thank you so much, Mia, for being on and sharing your story. And I'm just so grateful that we got to connect on here today. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Courtney.
Thank you so much for tuning in. It means so much to me that you're here and that you're taking the time to listen to the podcast. If you found this episode to be valuable to you, it would mean so much to me if you shared it with your friends who you think could also really benefit from this message. You can take a screenshot of you listening and tag me in your Instagram stories. I am at journeytolimitless_. That also gives me the chance to connect with you and say thank you. So until next week, I hope that you have an amazing week ahead of you, and I'll talk to you then.